Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI says the message of Christianity is one of love for God and neighbour. The Irish bishops tackle the problem of widespread violence in Irish society. We hear about the reality of a radio station in Liverpool that not only informs and entertains, but goes out of its way to help its listeners solve every kind of problem. And Father Jim Brand continues to reflect on the Book of Psalms. Pope Benedict XVI expressed his belief Sunday that the message of Christianity is one of love for God and neighbour. Before praying the Angelus with several thousand people gathered in St. Peter's Square, the Pope reflected on the words of the prophet, "God desires love, not sacrifices," and said that they are the heart of Scripture. My colleague Charles Collins has this report.
Pope Benedict on Sunday spoke about what he calls the introduction of the heart of sacred scripture. Quoting the Gospel of Matthew, which itself quotes the prophet Hosea, the Holy Father reminded the 30,000 people in St. Peter's Square for his Angelus that God desires love, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than holocausts. The Gospel recounts the calling of the Apostle.
In this Sunday's Gospel, we hear how Jesus called Matthew, the tax collector. Immediately Matthew rose and became a follower of our Lord. Let us be prepared to turn away from everything that separates us from God, so that we too can respond generously to his call.
Pope Benedict pointed out that as a tax collector for the Roman authorities, Matthew was considered a public sinner by the Jews. When confronted by the Pharisees with this fact, Jesus replied that those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do, and that he did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The Holy Father said this word of God has come down to us through the Gospels as one of the summaries of the entire Christian message. True religion consists in love of God and of neighbor. This is what gives value to worship and to the keeping of his laws. After the recitation of the Angelus, the Pope greeted pilgrims in various languages. In Polish, he said a special prayer for the miners who last Wednesday lost their lives in a methane gas explosion at the Bornia coal mine in Poland. He asked the Lord for their eternal repose, and also for the spiritual comfort of their families, as well as for a quick recovery for the many who were wounded in the tragedy. I'm Charles Collins.
Thanks there to Charles Collins for that report. It came as a surprise to me to read a press release sent by the Irish Bishops' Commission for Justice and Social Affairs denouncing widespread violence in Irish society. Surely, I said to myself, Ireland is a wealthy nation, a nation with one of the highest standards of living in the world. What kind of violence can the bishops be talking about, and where does it stem from? Actually, my Irish colleagues here at the radio didn't seem at all surprised. They confirmed that violence in Irish society is a serious and growing problem, and that measures have urgently to be taken. I decided to look into the question and telephoned Father Owen Cassidy of the Irish Commission for Justice and Social Affairs. He told me of the document that has just been launched by the Commission in response to the very serious state of affairs.
This is a position paper being launched by the Irish Commission for Justice and Social Affairs. That's the Catholic Church's Justice and Peace Commission here in Ireland, in which we call for the society to recognise the seriousness of the increase in violence in Irish society today. because the reality is that despite the fact that Northern Ireland, the paramilitary violence has largely ceased, violence itself has not ceased. In fact, there's an increase in violence. In fact, in a small population in Northern Ireland with 1.5 million people, every 22 minutes, the PSNI, the police service in Northern Ireland, are called out to investigate an incident of domestic violence. Every day, 6 children are brought into care. In the Republic, even just in the last 10 days, the most recent statistics on violence show a 26% increase in murder and manslaughter in the Republic, and a 73% increase in threats of murder, harassment and other related offences. This is an appalling state of affairs, and it's not something we can remain silent with. We cannot remain silent. The Church has no option but to respond to this evil and to do everything it can to combat this evil.
Before asking you how the Church is going to respond or what kind of solutions you have found, what exactly are the roots of this violence? Where does it stem from?
Echoing Pope Benedict XVI when he talked about the need for a natural, a human and social infrastructure, it stems from the fact that you have at both the family level and at societal level malfunctions. With the pressures on family life, the pressures on parenting, the pressures of this consumer society, you have intolerable pressures on parents in trying to rear children. And violence stems originally from nobody is born violent, but violence has that root cause in failure of parenting skills. It also has, there's a social infrastructure. The cities and towns are built without adequate social facilities. It's not a question of housing facilities, also recreational, educational, cultural and social facilities. And people felt that they're in some way marginalised by society. And one of the sad things about Ireland, I mean, Ireland has a lot of good things going for it, but that is the societal inequality levels are very high. And we're in a society where there are high levels of inequality, relative inequality. People can feel very excluded from society, and excluded in a consumer society means that it touches the roots of their own self-esteem, and it can have effects in terms of feeling angry, excluded, and can lead to violence. So you have the hugely difficult thing of abuse of alcohol and drugs, and one has to be frank and say that a lot of violence is drug-related and alcohol-related.
It sounds as though Ireland has had a huge economic growth in the past few years, and somehow the structures of society just haven't, kept up.
Yeah, the economic growth has been hugely positive for Ireland. Ireland now has a standard of living that is the envy of many industrialised countries in the world, and it has given great opportunities for people. But it also creates its own issues that need to be addressed, and particularly in terms of support for families and support for parents. And we are calling in this document for family support services and parenting supports that will allow children to grow up in an environment whereby they have that secure moral boundaries, a loving environment whereby the factors which make for a peaceful society are fostered.
In what way does the Bishops' Commission come into it structurally, practically?
Well, it is a public organisation, just like every other public organisation. It seeks to make a contribution to the common good. It seeks to contribute to societal awareness of these issues. And particularly in this document here, we're calling, it's a call to for a discussion group, it's a call to highlight the realities of violence today and a call to highlight the possibilities of responding to that in a very constructive manner. Because, to put it frankly, the Church has no option but to respond to an evil such as we have here. It has no option but to attempt to promote and to call to promote a more peaceful and just society. And if, in fact, it can do that by highlighting issues such as highlighting this document, well, then it's a positive contribution.
Thank you very, very much, Father Cassidy. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
There's one thing I'd like to add, and that is just to acknowledge the reality that in a media-driven culture, there is a danger of glamorization of violence to the media, and it's very important that we nail that firmly, and that where, in fact, you glamorize violence either by promoting Godfather-type images in the media, you are creating role models which are inherently dangerous and can have a very detrimental effect on the growth and the adaptability of people to society, and can in fact contribute in no certain manner to a culture of violence.
That was Father Owen Cassidy from the Irish Commission for Justice and Social Affairs. It probably does transpire through my programme that doing radio is something I really enjoy. I feel so privileged to ride through the city to this nice sunny office every morning, open the window for a quick glance at St. Peter's Square, and spend my working hours talking to interesting people, learning about the world, writing up my thoughts and discoveries, choosing the right music for each programme. And I'm not the only one. Helen Jones, producer for Radio Merseyside in Liverpool, feels much the same as I do, as she told me when she popped into Vatican Radio for a visit during a brief stay in Rome.
Radio Merseyside is part of the BBC local radio network. Our catchment area is Wirral, Chester, so it's quite a big area that we serve. Predominantly the listeners call it Radio Liverpool because we're based right in the centre. And a lot of listeners aren't aware that it is part of the BBC because it's theirs, quote.
Tell me more about Radio Merseyside, I said to Helen. What does a typical daily programme schedule look like?
The breakfast show is kind of aimed for parents and children, really. We have a great presenter that's really good at bringing out comedy and stuff from parents taking the kids to school. The mid-morning programme is the current affairs, plus then the phone-in. Our afternoon presenter, Billy Butler, is a bit of an icon of the area. He actually used to DJ in the Cavern. I would obviously introduce the Beatles. He's not just known for that now, because in his own right, he presents... He's kind of got his own take on life, really. So he plays mainstream music, but also up-and-coming bands as well. But he's... you either love him or hate him. He's got a mixed following.
All this, she explained, is broken up by news bulletins, music programmes, current affairs features, and so on. But especially, Helen said, there's a social side to the radio that has a real impact on people's lives.
On BBC Radio Merseyside, we have a social action department, which is an action desk. So from 10 till 5, Monday to Friday, listeners can phone us with problems. They can phone if you're linked to a charity or an organisation that might need some extra support. So my job is to broadcast within the programmes. Innovative ways of getting people to phone us. So it might be that there's a blood shortage at the local hospital. So it's my job to kind of creatively get somebody linked to the particular item it is I'm broadcasting to get people to be involved. Some of the subject matter can be deemed quite worthy. So I try and get... I never go for the chief execs of a charity, for example. I prefer to start with the person at ground level that maybe does volunteer. But it's kind of a call to action is my job, really, where I try and get listeners to help charities that need support or awareness campaigns as well. Get men to have health checks because they, you know, in some cases they might not because they think, oh, no, it's okay.
I asked Helen to tell me one of the stories that she has been personally involved in.
I think one of my most powerful projects that we were involved with and how the people of Merseyside did rally round, we were collecting pens for South Africa. A listener had been away on holiday and visited a local school and really couldn't believe the fact that they didn't have writing implements. So she came back to the radio station and asked us would we support her with her mission to collect biros, pencils, you name it. So over a period of 6 weeks we ran the campaign for, we collected 1 million pens. We then got support from local businesses to help us ship the items out. And my favourite... if you could pinch me for being in radio, it was this particular moment when a listener came in and you could visibly see that they lived rough. It was a lady. You could see the toes hanging out from her feet. And she opened the inside of her coat and she'd been to every bingo hall, every betting shop to find the small biros, which, thankfully, she'd stolen, but we were okay with that, so she could give them to our appeal. And I just thought, nothing. She didn't have anything, but yet she still supported the campaign. So we then got the fantastic feedback from the school children in South Africa, where we did a two-way with the schools, who then could use the pens. So that's good.
The power of the help desk, Helen says, has grown immensely with the possibilities of new technology.
I think with the power of technology now as well, with the internet, we have quite a few listeners that do listen online. And I think for my department, we are a lifeline. This was a scenario where the son lived away and he was really concerned about his father because they wanted a ramp building at the back of the property in Liverpool. And through social services and through the council, it was going to be done, but not quick enough, and it was an urgent thing that needed to be done. So we as a radio station got involved because his son lived in Perth and couldn't do anything. So we acted on behalf of our listener's kind of son, who we did get social services involved. But what is so powerful about it is, I think the fear of possibly they think we're going to put them on the radio because they haven't done it. Not at all. We act as a go-between purely because we can and we have the kind of means and resources. We have so many contacts, and I think that's what makes it quite a special place to be, really, in that across the network of the BBC local radio, there is an action desk in every station. But I really do feel for the area that we serve, we never get negative responses. We always get good responses to our appeals. I think that's what makes it. You can see a reward in the broadcasting that you're actually doing.
It's quite clear that Helen, like myself, finds her job immensely rewarding. Not only is she spending her time doing something interesting, she's playing an important part in helping people, finding solutions to sometimes vital problems. And radio, she told me, has always played a special part in her life.
I've always wanted to work in radio since the age of about 13, and the reason purely is because my radio was my friend when I was that age. I'm the only girl of five brothers who all did their own thing, really. And I just thought, isn't it amazing how words can come out of a radio? It was Radio Luxembourg. I used to kind of manage just about to hear it, and I one day said to myself, I really do want to do that, to bring pleasure to other people. I think what inspires me is the power of radio and the intimacy of radio. I love, whenever I travel, listening to different stations, because I think it's something that is quicker than reading a newspaper. It's there and you can carry it with you.
It really keeps you company.
It does.
And now Father Jim Brand, spiritual director at the Pontifical Beda College, continues his reflections on the Book of Psalms.
Hello everyone, it's Father Jim. I'm making some noises about our Lord's prayer book, which is the Psalms. And if he would pray the Psalms, as we know he did, so, well, perhaps he invites us to join in his prayer to his Father from these inspired poems. And I was looking, first of all, at the Psalms of Praise, where the chorus is Hallel, praise, to Yahweh, hallelujah. And the great motives for praise were because his hesed is emet, two very important Old Testament words, his love is everlasting. And I pointed out that hesed is unbought, unmerited love. So we don't have to get God to love us because we're loved into being. You only have to pinch yourself. And God loves us, that's why we exist. But sometimes we spend our time trying to get God to love us. Our problem is allowing ourselves to be loved. That's where we're so hard to get. Like Adam, we sort of hide from God because we can't believe that we're loved into being. And emet is the basis of the word amen, means founded on rock, unshakable. God doesn't change. I remember when I was a child thinking at 1 minute to three on Good Friday God was cross, and at 1 minute past three he was pleased, and I thought, gosh, fancy sentencing his son to death. What sort of a God is that? The word emet is unshakable. God doesn't change. It's we who change if we allow ourselves to be loved, you see. And the other motives for praise were the creation, that we've looked at a bit, and the covenant. And that the fact our God is different to our idols. So here in Psalm 135, first of all, there's an invitation to everyone around. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh who serve him. This is the invitation, all those who serve him. Those who are serving in the house of Yahweh, in other words, all the people in the temple and in the courts of the house of our God. This is obviously a temple psalm where someone is coming in, inviting the whole staff of the temple to join him in his praise. Why? Praise Yahweh, for Yahweh's good. Play for his name, for he inspires love, all you orchestras. Sometimes I, you know, have played the piano for the Lord. It's my prayer. God has chosen Jacob, if you please, and Israel as his own. And this individual is now going to testify before everyone. I've learnt for myself that Yahweh is great, that our Lord surpasses all other gods. In the heavens and on the earth, in the ocean, in the depths, Yahweh's will is sovereign. He raises up clouds from the boundaries of earth, makes the lightning flash from the downpour, and brings the wind out of his storehouse. Oh, that's so beautiful. And then something from the history that God seems to have been on Israel's side. Yahweh, your name endures forever. Your memory is always fresh. He cares for those who serve him. Whereas pagans' idols in silver and gold, products of human skill, have mouths but never speak. Eyes but never see, ears but never hear, and not a breath in their mouths. Their makers will end up like them, and so will anyone who relies on them. O house of Israel, bless Yahweh. House of Aaron, bless Yahweh. House of Levi, bless Yahweh. You who fear Yahweh, bless Yahweh. Blessed be Yahweh in Zion, in Jerusalem, his home. There's somebody witnessing his praise for God. So, like most psalms, it starts with an invitation and then gives motives for praising God. That's Psalm 135. And a psalm like that would be Psalm 115, you might like to look at, where God of Israel is compared to pagan gods. So it makes me wonder, what are Father Jim's idols? Well, I'm intelligent enough not to make things to worship. But if I am a temple where the Holy Spirit wishes to dwell, I hope the high altar is dedicated to the one true God. I hope. But I do know there are all sorts of other idols. I won't embarrass you by telling them what they are. Those things I put before God, whether it's property or riches or good name or reputation, or and it's worth us asking ourselves, if the Lord wants to clear the temple of idols, what are those things all of us have that stop us being loved by God and stop us living as if we're sons and daughters of the Most High? So now I'd like to say something about psalms of thanksgiving. It's a very attractive thing, thanksgiving. Our Lord was so grateful when one leper came back to thank him for his cure. Our Lord was disappointed what's happened to the other nine, but was so grateful himself that one had come back. And he spent his time thanking his Father. Father, I thank you for the work you've given to me. I thank you for the glory you have given me before the foundation of the world. I thank you for the friends you've given to me. They're yours and you've given them to me. And our Lord is so easy to please. He said, if you've given a cup of water to anybody, they ring the bells in heaven, they have a day off, a celebration. If one sinner comes back, again, they have a jubilee in heaven. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I wish I could say the same about me. So I hope you'll pray for me. Wouldn't it be lovely if all Christians could say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm easy to please. So often we grumble. Somebody gives me a small cup of coffee and I think, why wasn't it a bigger one? I'm not thinking of anyone particular now, but I know I've looked at one or two people's faces and more or less said to the divine potter, should have gone back to the reject shop. God says, thanks, Jim. Thank you. I was giving myself 10 out of 10 for that person. Who are you to mark me and mark me down? And we're always thinking what we haven't got instead of being grateful for what we have. It's part of what the world's about. Everyone's dissatisfied. Many people have reason to be dissatisfied, I know, of course. But sometimes we don't count our blessings. And so in the Psalms of Thanksgiving, there are all sorts of reasons why people are invited to thank God. First of all, because his hesed is emet, his love is everlasting. And some of the thank you Psalms are private and some are common, community Psalms. And they're usually based on some liturgical event in the temple. People might have had many things to thank God for, but they thought they'd wait until the next pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. And then they'd be able to, in public, witness to the problems they've had and how God has redeemed them in some way and present their thanks offering. So these psalms usually begin with an invitation to join me in my thanksgiving. And then the person, the soloist, would tell his story. And then there might be advice given. And then after the burnt offering was offered in the temple, then there'd be a sort of celebration thank you meal. And this very much is a paradigm of what the Mass is, when we remember Jesus took the bread and thanked God and fed them. Amen.
That's all from the English feature programme today and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.